Welcome to Sacktown Talks. Today we have Fred Topol with the California Freelance Writers to talk a little bit about AB5. Fred, how are you doing? And tell us who you're with.
I'm good. Thanks for having me. I'm a co-leader of California Freelance Writers United. We're a grassroots organization of California-based writers, editors, photographers, videographers, and others, you know, in the writing and journalism field, who formed last year after the passage of AB5 to work towards getting an exemption for our industry that will let us keep working.
I guess prior to the passage of AB5, you know, how did people within your association kind of operate?
Well, we didn't exist before the passage of AB5. We were all independent freelancers. And we formed together when Marissa Brown started the Facebook group to unite us, because we saw that the only people who were really getting heard by legislators were in organizations. So there were other organizations of journalists that worked with her, her being Assemblymember Gonzalez, who wrote AB5. But there were a lot of, and they did the best they could, but you know, they can't represent every facet of writing, journalism, and all the other tangential related multimedia. So we knew that more voices needed to be in conversation to explain to legislators how our business worked and why AB5 wasn't going to work the way they intended.
Yeah, I guess kind of what I want to get into, Fred, is, you know, prior to AB5, how did people like yourself operate as a freelance writer specifically?
Well, we're more like small businesses. We run a writing business, or if you're a photographer or editor or videographer, a writing, editing, or video business. We pitch clients. We advertise our work. We offer our services, you know, based on our reputations, to publishers or outlets in California or outside of California. In the modern workplace, in 2020 now, 2019 last year, so much is done remotely, there's really no limit to where you can work.
So would you just kind of just write stories you would want to write and then submit them to various publications? Or, you know, would you work with certain publications and they would tell you which issues to focus with?
Not in the order you suggest. I mean, most of us probably have a beat. Like, mine is primarily entertainment, although I branch out in other sort of topics too. And we have clients we work with every month, so we know what they publish. You know, we would generate our own material and pitch it to them. I suppose, like any business would, I hate to say sell their wares, but our wares are creative. And just being professional, I think we know what the client wants and we aim to serve them.
Yeah. So I guess, how long have you been in the writing business, and kind of what kind of topics have you covered in the past?
I have been in it for over 20 years, since 1999. I focused on entertainment, covering film and television, and I've branched out in covering things like employment, job searching tips, medical breakthroughs, historic sites and movie theaters. So a little tangentially related to entertainment.
And I guess, you know, what outlets would you usually your work be published in?
Well, I promised my outlets that I would keep my CAFWU activism separate from them. So I don't want to call out any by names, but I've been a freelance journalist this whole time and always worked for a slate of different clients, which I could say in the past has included About.com, Crave Online, eOnline, Hollywood.com, entertainment sites like that.
Okay, interesting. Right around the, you know, I guess the end of the year, towards the beginning of the year, on social media, you saw a bunch of, I guess, freelance writers just kind of panicking as the implementation of AB5 was about to occur. And I guess a lot of them were getting notices from their companies they're working with that, you know, because of this, they had to change their relationship or could no longer continue. Can you kind of describe kind of I guess, the mood among the freelance writers in California right now surrounding this?
Yeah. Well, I think what happened was when we heard about the law, which people found out anywhere from last summer to September when it actually passed, what this was going to mean for writers, they would try to raise awareness and reach out to Assemblymember Gonzalez on Twitter, because she's very active there, to say, hey, here's some examples of how my industry works and why this isn't going to work. You might describe that as panic, foreseeing I'm not going to be able to work once this goes into law. Unfortunately, it stopped being hypothetical around December when we started getting actual notices from editors that they weren't going to be able to work with Californians anymore starting January 1st. So California Freelance Writers United collected all of that data. Other groups covering other industries collected data from their fields. So the mood before the coronavirus pandemic was already bleak, because although we were working for amendments, government isn't fast. So people were had lost income while they were waiting for this to be fixed.
Do you know of any, you know, writers, I guess, leaving the state, you know, just to keep their business going and kind of the fallout from this?
We've heard of a few. I think it's still a little early to see that actually take effect, because a move takes a long time. And then this pandemic hit. So I don't think a lot of people were leaving, and some are still hopeful that it'll get fixed and they can continue working in the state. But yes, there's been talk and we've seen it start. And I wouldn't be surprised if we see more people leaving California.
I know Ms. Gonzalez is working on some amendments to AB 5 this year. A couple of them just passed committees. I know musicians were one of them. Are you freelance writers currently part of that conversation of, you know, getting a call
yes.
out for AB 5 exemptions?
Yeah, most of our work in the past year has been focused on the exemption that ended up being AB 2257. Which, to Assemblymember Gonzalez's credit, she did introduce this amendment for writers and musicians with the language that both groups agreed upon. And she's interested in making this an urgency vote, which, if it passes, it can go into effect as soon as it's signed into law, which could be as early as June, I believe, so that writers and musicians at least won't have to wait until January 1st of next year.
Okay.
There's another amendment bill, AB 1850, that will deal with other industries too that are unfortunately not ready with finalized language yet. So that would go through the normal session and hopefully get other industries back to work by next year.
I guess, can you kind of get into some of the details of why you feel freelance writers should be exempt from AB 5? Like what is unique about your job specifically?
That were small businesses. The idea of AB 5 was to prevent misclassification, which I think most of us in California Freelance Writers United agree misclassification is a problem that we would like to prevent. We just believe AB 5 doesn't prevent it. All AB 5 does is say it's illegal to hire independent contractors now, to which companies don't say, okay, we'll hire you as employees. They say, oh, it's illegal to hire independent contractors. Okay, we won't. So it's the nature of the industry of journalism. Journalism's always relied on freelance writers to complement staff, to share the load. And we just saw in evidence now that there just weren't jobs being created to replace the independent contracts. And there were some, you asked for details. There's some details about the first version of an exemption for journalists that really just showed they didn't understand how the business worked. They were very focused on newspapers and newsrooms. you know, where they have a staff go into the office and work their beats. And I'm sorry, but in 2019 and 2020, that's a very outdated impression of journalism. It was clear the legislators, you know, from the assembly on up to the governor's office, had no idea what the digital marketplace was like, how many people were writing online and doing journalism online. And that includes editors, photographers, and videographers for multimedia.
Right.
So it's been a very slow process of educating legislators on what exactly our business entails, whether that's doing very quick news pieces that take less than 20 minutes, or you know, being free to go cover an event that would be before the stay-at-home orders, obviously, do an intense research story. There's so many different types of coverage that the original language, which was up to 35 submissions and after that you're an employee, just did not make sense for our business. So again, to Assemblymember Gonzalez's credit, she did listen to us, and the new language includes our proposal, which it gets rid of the submission cap. That was the most important thing. If AB 2257 passes, there won't be a limit on 35 submissions. It'll use a different criteria to determine who is legitimately a freelance journalist and who should be employed. One of our proposals was part of that criteria should be you work offsite from the company and use your own equipment, because that is part and parcel to most freelance journalists. We're independent. And there are several other criteria that just add more nuance to what a freelance journalist does.
I guess other than AB5 and this kind of carve out, now that you guys have come together, are there some other items that you guys are looking to address?
Oh yes, our work is not done when AB 2257 passes, and even getting it passed as an urgency will require a two-thirds vote, and that could be a challenge to get that. But unfortunately, in California, there's so many other industries affected. We're committed to amplifying other industries and helping them work out fixes for their industries. And we focused on journalism because that's our area of expertise. We know we're not experts in the other industries, but you know, anything we can do with sharing our experience working in advocacy for the last year and getting through to legislators, we're willing to help with. Unfortunately, there's also a national version we have to turn our attention to. The PRO Act also includes the language of the ABC test, which, do your viewers know the ABC test?
Yeah, I guess, you know, it'd be
that AB5 is
ran down that.
Yeah. The way AB5 wanted to classify employees is something called the ABC test. Hopefully by memory, I get these in the right order. You're an independent contractor if you can show that you're free from the hiring entity's control, not performing a task that is in the same business as the company. And that's the part that makes freelancing within an industry difficult, because you're likely in the same business. And the third being that you're customarily engaged in that business as a professional. So basically, it makes freelancing illegal. The PRO Act, which is mostly a right to organize bill, uses the ABC test to determine who is an employee with a right to organize. And by changing the labor code to include that, that's very dangerous. And we would really hope that federal legislators, you see the damage it's done to California and go, oh, that didn't work as we planned. Let's not do that nationally. And there is plenty of evidence to see there's hundreds of examples of income lost to Californians in places that won't hire Californians. Our group has tabulated just those pertaining to writing and journalism. Yet, unfortunately, we see that just like the state legislators, the federal congressmen and senators haven't really educated themselves to how business works. So it's going to be another gradual process of explaining to them, these are the nuances of these industries. It would be really helpful if you'd understand the industries before you make laws that put people out of work, even if the intentions are to get them employment and benefits. If it doesn't do that, if it just makes the work disappear, that does no good to anyone. We even saw on Tuesday, candidate Joe Biden released his labor plan, which cites California as an example of how AB 5 worked. And then he tweeted that he's against the Uber ballot initiative in November. But he said AB 5 benefited Californians by giving them benefits like minimum wage and overtime pay. I'm not surprised the candidate himself hasn't been paying close attention to California politics, but I'm shocked that no one on his staff flagged that as, wait a minute, this isn't going well in California. Maybe we should have a different message on that. So there is a lot of work we need to do to educate lawmakers about the modern 2020 workplace and how good independent contracting and small business work is for people, and particularly minorities. You know, a high percentage of freelancers are women, LGBTQ, the disabled community, and I don't want to leave anyone out. It's very it's just going to be a very long process of educating lawmakers. And we have help in that. We are teaming up. We're California Freelance Writers United. There's Fight for Freelancers groups in various other states, like New York, New Jersey, in the Midwest now, as more AB5 style laws are up for consideration in their state governments, and they're worried about the PRO Act. So there is more work to be done.
You know, obviously the COVID-19 crisis has touched a lot of industries, but it looks like it's really hit the media, I guess, disproportionately hard as people, I guess, aren't paying for content. Can you kind of go into depth about how the freelance writers are doing, I guess, outside of AB5, kind of with this COVID crisis?
It was really a 1-2 punch of AB5 and then COVID-19. One thing I think it shows is, even if AB5 had worked as intended and people had suddenly gotten staff jobs on January 1st, COVID-19 showed that people who had those staff jobs lost them, either getting laid off or furloughed. They can collect unemployment, which helps, but what they really want to do is keep working. And if they could freelance, they could still keep their income up. So at a time when people were confined to their homes and writing and journalism is the sort of job that could be done from home, unfortunately, a lot of people were also blocked from doing that by AB5. And that doesn't just go for writers in the media. I mean, there were lots of other professions that could have been working from home, that could have even been helping the medical community. We saw some independent nurses and people in the medical community, and even interpreters who might be needed to interpret between non-English speaking patients and English speaking doctors, that couldn't do that because the hospitals in question couldn't just hire them as an employee, you know, for one patient.
Right. You know, it's kind of interesting, you know, with the platforms of, you know, Twitter and things like that, it seems like people are, I guess, devouring content at a higher level, but it doesn't seem that, you know, people are as apt to pay for content. I guess as these publications evolve to this new world, kind of how do you see, I guess, freelance writing and kind of these digital publications kind of making money in the future? Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a much bigger question that we've been dealing with long before AB5. I mean, I survived the first dot-com boom when I started as a journalist. Websites were thriving and then the bottom fell out and everyone was like, well, no one can ever make money on the internet again. What are we going to do?
Right.
And then companies found a way. And then at certain times, the bottom fell out of that too. Social media had an impact. Social media diverted a lot of audience from websites where I guess you could monetize the viewership to people just, you know, reading, scrolling through the feed on Twitter. How we're going to adapt in the future, that's probably a bigger question than I can answer, but I can say that's why freelancing is so important, because I mean, the media is a volatile business. You know, having a full-time job is no guarantee. You've seen how many companies had to cut staff in the COVID-19 emergency, which is something they couldn't have anticipated. Anything can always happen with ad dollars or algorithms. Right. So writers, journalists, editors, photographers, videographers want to maintain a healthy slate, so they always have lots of irons in the fire. That's how the media as a concept, as an industry, stays alive, because it's bigger than any one outlet. Outlets come and go. But it's important that the individual journalists have means to keep doing their work, keep selling their work, keep running their businesses.
I guess in your time as freelance writing, have you seen, I guess, the demand for content evolve? For example, do you find yourself writing shorter pieces, longer pieces, and kind of, you know, how has your writing style changed as this, I guess, demand for your content changes?
It's funny. I've seen both. Obviously, there's a lot more short form writing. There's also been a little more deep dive writing. I suppose it depends on the subject. You know, if it's something everyone's writing about, the news of the day, it can be short. It depends on the audience. Like if it's a content that people are likely going to read on their phone, it's probably going to be short. But there are chances to, you know, if someone's really interested in a subject and is willing to sit there and read the whole thing, you could do a deep dive on it.
Yeah, and it's kind of interesting. You know, you said you did a lot of entertainment. You know, I look at a lot of these sports writers with Twitter today. It seems like they feel like they have to get like an article out every day, and it's kind of like this machine gun firing.
Oh, well, I mean, one article a day would be luxurious, you know.
Oh, wow.
I'm talking like 5 or 6 to 8 stories a day. And that's why we had such a problem with AB5 counting our submissions, because, I mean, you can do 35 stories a week, and they had it limited to 35 stories a year. That doesn't make you an employee. You know, those 35 stories could have taken a few hours.
Right.
If they're short, if they're easy, if they're in your wheelhouse. That's why media writing, the arts, creativity is not a quantifiable widget. So there has to be more nuance in it. But you were asking about how the demand for content changed. I suppose people have also experimented with video and audio, like doing podcasts.
Right.
Video seems, I feel like every few years in my career, I've heard people predict that print is dead and everything was going to be video. And then they learn that video is expensive. Video is long. You can't always get people to sit through the whole video. So I'm sure people will figure out ways to use video, but I think people will always need writers, and print and video will work together symbiotically.
Yeah, it's funny you say that, because I saw a lot of these publications, they'll do YouTube with an article, and then sometimes they would just do the YouTube, and it kind of gets frustrating if they have a podcast or a video and you don't have time to listen to 20, 30 minutes. It's nice to get a written summary of what's talked about. So
Some podcasts are hours, 2 hours, or 3 hours. I remember a few years ago, MTV made a big announcement that they were pivoting to video and they fired a lot of their writers. That lasted about 6 months and they realized they couldn't sustain it.
Yeah, now you don't see a music video on MTV anymore. how things change. Well, Fred, thank you so much for joining us. I guess, is there anything else you want to touch on before we go?
Boy, I'm sure I'll remember later something I forgot to mention, but thanks so much for your interest in this and for getting the word out. The important things right now are to let people know what AB2257 is and 1850. Hopefully encourage their legislators to vote yes on it as an urgency. Know that our work is not done. We're going to continue working for other industries where we can and on the national level. I really hope this is a teachable moment for everyone in government to understand the industries they're regulating so that hopefully people don't have to fix it after the fact.
Exactly. Well, thank you so much. And we'd love to have you back on to talk about the entertainment industry sometime if you have.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Fred. Have a good one.
You're welcome.
Our call dreamers.